Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. This show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. It's my hope that you will come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. Each week we'll have an exciting array of diverse guests who will all point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. And tonight it's my pleasure to welcome back Jessie Ann Nichols George. She's a code interpreter, and I'm going to let her explain that to you when I introduce her to you, after I introduce her to you. Her work encompasses multiple fields of study and belief systems to help people create the life they desire to live. The work she does many things, including a lifetime study through personal experiences, learning the language of codes and symbolism to help people find their own personal true alignment, and an in-depth understanding of themselves and connection to everything and everyone else. Researching and studying the influences of environment, communications, personal dynamics, past lives, religions, cultural beliefs and lifestyles, metaphysics, holistic healing, energetics, quantum energy, herbs, astrology, numerology, feng shui, environmental design, signs and symbols, dreams and dream work, meditation and visualization, mantras, chanting, affirmations, paranormal activity and spirit communication, auras, tantras, relationship chakras, and more. She is a radio show host. She's a workshop presenter and speaker, and she's an author. And she also is a 13th generation spiritual advisor. She channels past lives and uses ancestor support. And she has also been interviewed on TV on Wiccan practices. She's been involved in missing person cases and oh so much more. So I'm going to introduce her without any further ado. This is Jessie Ann Nichols George. Jessie, once again, how are you tonight?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful, David, and it is so great to be back on your show. I just really had such a great time when I was here the first time around, and so it's great to be back again.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. I'm wondering if you can let the callers know what the type of work is that you do and what they might be able to expect from talking with you this evening.
Well, the work I do, what I call it, is code interpretation. And as a code interpreter, I look at what is basically somebody's sort of their blueprint and their manual for what they're doing in this lifetime, what they've come in here with, what they're working with, how their energy flows. And in that, we can look at literally anything from, we can look at relationship dynamics, whether a company's right, whether a type of position is right, whether a certain place in the country or location is good for them and favorable for them. So it's about seeing how we interact with anything and everything. And when we look at codes, basically what we have is we have, you kind of think of those old squares that you used to see in psychology classes or things, some of those
right. Diagrams.
Well, we're either coded or not coded to everything. And whether we're coded or not coded to it, we either have a favorable or an unfavorable influence or flow to it. And when we look at that, I don't worry a whole lot about what we're not coded to, because what we're not coded to, if we're unfavorably not coded to something, it's not going to hit us as hard, and it's not going to be the big challenge or the big concern in our life. If we're favorably not coded to something, we don't have a strong attachment to it. It could be good for us, but it's maybe not, you know, our big giant focus and preference. We look at what's coded to us. It's almost like you're going to get either that fatal attraction if you're unfavorably coded, or you're going to get that sort of twin flame, wow, divine flow, you know, drunk with the divine type of energy. And things that we're coded to are the things that we really tend to attach to in some way. They're the things that really hit us deep inside and really impact us. So what's really fun is I oftentimes hear people say, I don't know, you know, what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know how to do this thing or function this way or things like that. And it brings sometimes a huge amount of relief for people to know that maybe they're just not coded to something. Like I had somebody back in Massachusetts when I was back there last fall, and she's a beautiful, creative person. She, you know, she does all this great work, and yet she dealt with a lot of fears and anxieties and things like that. And part of them was related to things like having to keep books or stuff like that. Well, when I ran her code, what I found out was that she's not coded to any of that stuff. She's not supposed to be handling her own books. You know, she's not supposed to be handling the paperwork side of her business. And it was such a huge relief to her to realize that that's not what she was, you know, here to do. That's not her role or her piece. And what's really fun in codes, when I run somebody's codes, as you well know, we all carry a piece of the divine. We all have a that we represent of the divine. And, you know, that might be a big communicator for the divine, or that might be, you know, the secret hidden piece of the divine, or that whatever it is. It might be the healer piece, or the keeper of the doth, or the records, the you know, great records, hall of records, as they would say. We all have these different connections, and we all carry that spark. So when I do a code interpretation, it's about finding out these energy currents and energy patterns and how we cycle through life. And when we know this, we can come into an alignment that creates a flow, that opens the doors for us to experience blessings, that opens the door to that being able to be in the space of spirit and be loved and be happy, and regardless of what's happening. I think that's a big piece of it. So many people just don't truly understand how they function or how things are going to impact them. And when you think about it, you think of every sign you see, everything you see on TV, every person you interact with, every color around you, the way a room is laid out. I mean, we can use these things in feng shui principles even. Shapes, sizes, colors, terrain that's around you, all of that is interacting. And if the bulk of that is favorable, then we see more successes happening for somebody. If the bulk of that is unfavorable or challenging to their code, then they're going to hit more challenges. And what's really fun with this, David, is that there's no judgment. There's no right or wrong, which puts us in a really strong divine alignment. You know, it's not right or wrong that you connect with one place over another place, just the way your codes flow. And this is part of explaining why, for example, you can take an apple and one person eats that apple and their body responds to it and it's amazing and they get healthy and they have all this fiber and energy, and somebody else eats the same, you know, an apple from the same batch or even a bite off the other side of that same apple and they're not feeling well and it's not digesting well and all of a sudden they have gas or whatever it is. So this is why we can get different responses from exactly the same thing, because those two people's codes are working differently with that apple, for example.
Well, let me just say to people that I had Jessie read my codes. She did an in-depth analysis and gave me about a 25-page report absolutely amazing, covering so many things. I can't even begin to describe them, some of which she's alluded to as she's been talking, and we're going to start taking callers in just a minute. But if people are interested in doing that, how should they get in touch with you?
The best way to get in touch with me is they can go onto my website, which has a little more information than what we'll get into in the show as far as what coding is about and what's included in the foundational code package. And that's at jessieannicholsgeorge1.com. And if they want to contact me directly, they can email me, or which is jessie@jessieannicholsgeorge1.com. And I'm also on Facebook. They can always send me an instant message there if they want to. And that's an easy
Great.
Way as well.
All right. Well, should we get to the phone lines?
Okay.
All right. Our first caller is Ellen. And Ellen, you're live on the air. Say hello to Jessie Ann.
Hi, David. Hello, Jessie Ann.
Hi.
It just sounds like an incredible talent, but I'm not quite sure what kind of a question I can ask you. Because I could ask you, name everything that's favorable to me, but that's not going to go too well in a very fast call like that. What kind of questions would you like?
You know, you can ask anything you want, because there's going to be things that are going to come out. Usually what I do is work from somebody's name as a foundation, and it is interesting work. It's something that has just come together for me personally in the way I bring everything together. So if you feel like sharing your full name, that's great. If you don't, I understand that as well. Maybe we can work starting with your first name or something.
Okay, well, let's start my first name. It's Ellen. And I guess the question I wanted to ask about career, I'm thinking of making a career change, and I'm wondering if you pick up what would be a good thing for me to move into, or direction I should move into.
Okay, and is there a particular field or something that you're feeling drawn to, Ellen?
Yes.
And what is that field area?
Well, the environmental field, but I don't have a technical background, and that's imposing. So how do I get into it without a technical background?
Okay, so there's a lot of opportunities, and this would be something that, you know, when I code for people, I do get their full name. I don't have to have their birthday. That's strictly optional, but I work with a full legal birth name and a full legal current name. And I can see right off, there could be some possibilities that field could be a good field for you. When we look at entering something like that, then what it is it becomes more of a, how do I want to say, you don't always need a technical background. And this is one of those great, you're a great example of this, because when you're coded to something, then the technical background isn't always necessary. We get programmed that we have to have a certain education. But when you're coded, the opportunities open up for training experiences, for internship type experiences. And that would be the way I would probably begin to open up, you know, from your aspect. You kind of have a great ability to observe, I would say, in a lot of ways. You have a natural success energy that flows for you, and that's going to open doors no matter what direction you choose to go to. What you work with is you work with somebody who, whatever you apply yourself with, you're going to achieve a certain amount of honor and success and recognition. And you're a person that once you start forward on something, you will tend to advance very quickly in it. So part of this is because you carry with you a certain amount of universal wisdom. And, you know, this is just one piece of you. I think that you're a person who has been through enough challenges in life and probably had enough of what we would refer to as tests or initiations along the way that have tested your determination on something. And that is going to work to your advantage. So you might want to think back a little bit. Where have been some of your greatest challenges along the way? What have you most been tested in? And that's going to show an open door for you. Now, working in the environmental area, there are a ton of aspects. And I really feel like you're probably very well coded to green energy. I have a feeling that something along those lines is going to be your realm of exploration.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Green energy. I've been considering that as well as like urban agriculture and a few other things.
Working around, I think, even probably green in general and greens in agriculture. Again, I'd have to probably look at your full name to know how agriculture would actually truly code for you. But I would say that definitely green factors and green definitely does include agriculture on a different level. It would just be how you would approach it.
Yeah. No, and it has to do with soil renovation and other things. No, I appreciate your input. And yes, there are other aspects of environmental work other than the technical. It's just there are a lot of technical fields. In any event, let me say thank you so much, Jesse Ann, and thank you, David, for having Jesse as a guest.
Oh, my pleasure, and thank you for calling in, Ellen. It's always a joy to hear from you.
Thank you.
All right. God bless, hon.
You too.
Thank you. Okay. The studio is being a little persnickety. Yeah. Okay. We're moving on to Lori, and I'll let you know when she's live. Lori,
okay.
I'm still trying. There you are, Lori. Say hello to Jesse Ann.
Hi.
Hi, Lori.
Hi.
Do you spell your name O-R-I or A-U-R-I-E?
L-O-R-I.
L-O-R-I. Okay. Great. And what were you looking to find out about?
About my codes, like what I'm supposed to do with the rest of my life. If there's anything that I'm coded for specifically, or where should I concentrate my efforts? Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like, I'm just like, I don't know, I feel kind of overwhelmed with so many things. And
well, yeah, I mean, and here again, I just want to reiterate to people, I'm kind of going off of a first name, which is just one little piece of somebody's coding. To really delve into some of this would require the full name to get the full picture of things. But looking at your first name, one of the things that I see with you is that you are a big awakener in this world. You are a person that brings a lot of transformation and a lot of change. I think you've had probably a lot of challenges in your life. You tend to be the person who is the eye of the storm. So when everybody else is in chaos and everybody else is running around crazy, you're standing there still and calm and holding it together. Now, you might fall apart afterwards when everybody else calms down, but you tend to be the eye of the storm while the storm is going on. One thing that I see with part of your energy here with what you're sharing with me is that you also, I think part of your drain and part of your frustration along the way is that you tend to constantly have to start things over and over and over again. It's like you just get something going, you just get a little momentum going, and then you have to start it over again, or you have to go a new direction. And it's not that it's necessarily anything that you're doing wrong. It's like life just happens and it comes in and disrupts everything. And you have to completely redirect. So one of your big things in this world is really to keep things very simple and to, you know, keep yourself on a more open path with things. You would probably do excellent in some healing modalities, would be my thought, because you do have this great transformation energy. You know, you have the kind of energy that would work good as a Reiki practitioner, for example. You have that energy that would work well with people who deal with illnesses of one sort or another. You have that ability to create the transformations and the successes where other people don't get them. So, you know, that's a big thing. And when you are a transformation person in the world, and I know this energy because it's been part of my energy aspects, when you have this kind of energy, yeah, big key is to keep things as simple as possible, keep things as open and fluctuating or flexible as possible. But healing is great both for you and the person that you're working on, because it gives a great outlet for your energy so that it doesn't build up too much on you.
Yeah, well, you were spot on about that, having to start over and over and over again.
Yeah. And part of that is because when your energy is building up, if it doesn't have an outlet like healing work and meditation work and things like that, and nature will serve you very well, you're a high concentration of power, and so you get these interruptions constantly just because you do have such a big impact. And that so-called polarity energy is like, whoa, you know, this is an awfully big door that's opening here. You know, people who can stay calm, hold their ground, be independent, you know, and not be wrapped up in all the drama, cool, that's a big force for us to reckon with. So, yeah, definitely it is. And when you're transformational energy, you have to leave a lot of open time for yourself, for your own work, for your own processing. So sometimes the simpler work, like I said, or looking at the healing work, if you want to be in the spiritual arena, things like Reiki, energy work, you'd be excellent at.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you for calling in, Lori.
Yes,
is that
too.
Helpful to you?
Yes. Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I hope you have a wonderful evening, and God bless.
Yes, God bless. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, Jesse, maybe you can explain to people, in case they're holding back, how it's more helpful if you have their full name.
Well, the reason that it's more helpful is because we have all these components, and a lot of what we're getting into when we get into just the first name energy, you know, it's kind of like trying to tell somebody how a cake is going to turn out when they give you one ingredient to work with. you don't know exactly how it's going to all come together until you get the rest of the ingredients in there. And that's kind of what happens with the name. I get one glimpse of what they're showing to the world as I'm able to work with, say, a middle name and a last name or other aspects. Then it also opens the door to a more complete picture of things. It's kind of like when you view things from just one side and you don't turn around and capture the whole 360 view, you're just going to get one piece of that scenery. So it's the same type of thing. And what happens is we have these individual components, and then those components come together and interact into an even bigger picture, which shows the larger patterns that we then, or I can then run interactions from, you know, true interactions of something from on there. So, yeah, it definitely opens up the more information. What's really cool about this, David, is that, you know, more and more we see where people have changed their names along the way. We see people, kids that have been adopted along the way, and they don't necessarily have the information to get astrology, say, information done. They don't have birth times or things like that. Codes don't run off a birth date, so we don't have to have that information. That's a great way for them to do some self-exploration and to get some self-understanding and awareness in this process without having to have that.
Well, one thing I'm interested in on the subject of names is when you introduce a married name, I'm trying to think of how to phrase the question. But you're given a certain name at birth, and then you marry. Is it considered part of the attraction factor in your life, whether or not that name becomes a more powerful influence for you as far as your codes go, or how does that work?
So when a name gets changed or somebody marries and they take on, say, a new name, a new last name along the way with things, what happens is you have all of a sudden now multiple interactions. I am one of those people, and I know there's not a lot of people that agree with me in some of the other fields out there, but I do believe that we take on our name change energy. Now, how much depends on the interaction. And so we actually then are expanding in a way that we now bring in two energies. And that new name vibration, you know, can carry its own favorable or unfavorable code that we're operating on. That's definitely going to influence us. And this is part of why people can get married and they can say, man, you are not the person I married.
Because,
you know, and you're not. If you've changed your name, you're not the same person because you have a different energy vibration that's come into play. So you have your birth energy, which is still there and present and something that you're functioning under. Then you have your new name energy, which is there and you're functioning under. And oftentimes it can take as long as 7 years for that energy to fully unfold, so to say. And then you have the interaction of those two energies. So, for example, if your name energy is your new name energy is favorable to your birth name energy, you know, you can actually, there can be ways that each of them can come together and create, you know, can actually put somebody, say, in their power, put them in their position to really make a difference, to really make an influence in the world. Likewise, it can also put them in a position that could be very challenging for them, depending on what's selected and how the name energies interact with each other. And then you also have your partner or your spouse out there that, you know, when that name is changed, again, they're dealing with your birth energy, they're dealing with your new name energy, and they're dealing with this interaction that's going on for you. So sometimes we see conflicts. Sometimes I see people excel in that new name energy. Sometimes it could be something even as simple as adding a letter or removing a letter somewhere in the name that can completely shift their whole energy, completely change them from being a person who struggles with finances to becoming a person that excels in great successes in the world.
Fascinating.
So it can go a lot of different directions. It's just like you could take two people who are just beautiful, wonderful, incredible souls, and you could put them together, and they might become a total power couple, or you could put them together, and they could be neutralized out, and their energy drops off a little bit, or you could put them together, and their worst sides come out. You know, and likewise, you could take two people who have had a really rough, challenging life, you know, maybe been in and out of prison a couple of times and put them together, and all of a sudden they're doing the most amazing missionary work in the world. So
yeah.
It's all about those interactions, and this is why we can also begin to understand why one person might be able to influence us and another person might not. This is why we might listen to one person and not another person, even if they're saying the same thing.
Okay, well, thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, because our codes, the way our codes are connecting with the person or another person, makes the difference of whether we're willing to put the effort in or to listen or to actually hear what they're saying along the way.
Hmm. All right. Well, folks, if you want to have a little more in-depth analysis, consider providing your whole name. I can assure the people that are on the line that I will get to you, and beyond that, we'll see if other people call in. We're going to be moving on to Diana, and I'm trying to bring her live with my persnickety studio here. Hang in there, Diana. Diana, I'm going to place you in limbo for a minute, but I won't disconnect you. I'm going to try something to bring you live. It's just going to take a minute.
And I should say also, David, that one of the things I'm working on bringing out for my new seasonal year of full day, full weekend workshops is going to be based around understanding the patterns of codes. So when I look at codes, there's definitely, you know, a variety of different base patterns that come into play. For example, the spiritual material conflict or victim patterns, things like this. And so I'm working on developing events that will be based around understanding those patterns and how to work with them.
Okay. I do have Diana finally. Diana, sorry about the limbo, but sometimes that's the only way I can reach somebody. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm good. How are you, David?
I'm good. Very well. Thank you. So anyhow, let's say hello to Jessie Ann.
Hi, Jessie.
Hi, Diana. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm great. The energy was great today.
Good. Is it Diane or Diana?
Diana with an A. Okay. I think there's a difference. And, you
there
know, people will always want to call me Diane. I think David calls me Diana, but most people, even after I introduce myself and say with an A, they will still call me Diane. So I don't know what's up with people who keep doing that, but, you know, it's okay. I let it go. My last name is on Facebook, so I don't mind giving you my last name. It is my birth name. And I was going to ask you before you went into that, reading the name. Okay, so I never liked my married name. I was married for 13 years. But I felt that it didn't describe me at all. I mean, it wasn't my genetics. It didn't say what I was a part of. And it was my children's name, but I really never identified with my married name. So I was just really happy when I got to have my name back. So,
And you mentioned your last name. What was that again?
It was McClintock. It is McClintock. McClintock.
So, you know, this is a great example because when we look at, for example, a last name, what we're dealing with is more than just vibration because on the last name energy, we're actually dealing with family bloodline energy. And so that can be something where we're getting the energy of multiple generations coming through. We're getting the energy of family patterns that are going through. It's not just us personally, but it's that pattern, that energy that's carried through generation after generation after generation. And, you know, these are the things that can be beneficial or challenging or all kinds of things. And, you know, it's probably really great that you took your family name back because your family name actually has some very blessed energy to it. Your family energy naturally carries codes that deal with maintaining authority, that deal with success, being able to carry out your own plans, creating a fortunate future for yourself. And that's very important because when I look at your interaction in the outer world, when I look at, you know, some of this basic information here, your first name energy is one that can create a lot of worries or anxiety. I think that sometimes people see you as that person that they can kind of walk all over in a way, for lack of better terminology. You know, they see you as the meeker, weaker person a lot of times. And when they try to make your name Diane instead of Diana, they're also exercising that control over you in a way. It's a way of creating just strange happening in your life. It's like, it's almost like that creating major shifts constantly on you. And so you almost need that last name energy to really bring that in. Do you want to share your middle name at all, or is there a middle name?
It's Charmaine.
I'm sorry, it's what?
Charmaine? I didn't choose it.
Okay. That's okay.
And I haven't used it, so it's like, sounds odd to me.
Well, and
but I don't agree with that, the Diana thing. People are more intimidated by me than not, you know, like you were talking.
But
because I have a really brilliant light, and I always have, and so people have more or less tried to see if they could stomp it out a bit.
Right.
Diana is a very strong name.
They've tried to squash it down, and what's balancing out, again, the Diana energy is like your last name energy and everything that has authority in the command and drawing on the bloodline. So I'm just saying, you know, where people are seeing you as, not necessarily where you are, but where people see you as. You know, they see you as trying, you know, that person they want to try to create that stress or that anxiety.
Naturally, when someone sees the light that they're intimidated by, they would try to snuff it out a bit. My grandmother, who couldn't see, could see me, and everybody would ask her, how do you know that's Diana? Because Diana carries the light, even as a child. And Grandma was not afraid to say that, and I was like, wow, I'd never heard that before. But somebody who was blind could see me, and I just didn't understand. That's why I asked you. Married names have nothing to do with your genetics. You actually can learn a lot from your genes just by speaking with them. A lot of patterns. So why do people take on the married name? I don't know, because it's nothing to do with their genetics, unless you're marrying your family. So, which is another story, a different show. But if you picked up something on the middle name, you know, I never thought about that, so I should shut up.
and what's interesting is that your middle name actually reinforces your last name energy. So it carries a huge amount of power as well. It carries a huge amount of command and authority with it as well, so it really reinforces that. In things, which is beautiful. And this is one of those examples where people kind of will, you know, shuffle off a part of their name, and they're shuffling off a part of their power. They're shuffling off a part of their success. And, you know, depending on the individual and what's going on, what we're delving into, you know, this is one of those things that I'd look at it and say, why would somebody do that? You know, there's multiple reasons. I've seen people who were afraid of their successes along the way, and that's, you know, so they hesitated using that name that had the power in it. And yet yours, again, when it comes together and your energy flow is coming together between everything, what we're finding is ancient wisdom, sacred wisdom. We're finding, you know, that ability to have success. So if I look at the components of things, three-quarters of your energy is dealing with success. Three-quarters of your energy dealing with, you know, the light and bringing everything out and being in command and being in power and being able to be the one that can direct the energy along the way.
Yes. And I can, but other people have tried to block that from me. Let me tell you now, Jess, I believe that you're for real, because David, when I was in Santa Cruz, and I asked for a confirmation, a woman came up and saw my license plate was Indiana, not California, and she was looking in my back window and saw that she had been to a seminar I went to, and she was also into the esophageal scale tuning forks and the patterns of the different frequencies. And she told me that, because I asked her, well, I got this message today, the red fork, the blue fork. It was supposed to be Archangel Michael saying we need to root ourselves in the spinal cord now. And she had her little calculator, said, oh, that means sacred wisdom. So Jesse just said that. So you know she's right on. So I believe in her, and I should probably not take any more time.
Well, it's great, and you're really a great example, because, you know, the variation in the energy flow between your first name and your middle name, for example, and your middle name is what you really know you are. There's that deep inner core that the rest of the world doesn't always pick up on. And like
That's
you say,
cool.
when you have a punch of energy like you do, there can be those hidden aspects of people wanting to squash the energy, but on the first name, that's a lot of what other people are seeing, and so they can be seeing you as potentially meek, even though you're not, and you know differently. And it's
important.
Well,
they want you to think you are. Well, I think the meek inherited work, the earth. I believe that as a child, so that's okay to call me meek. But I know what you mean. Because
mm-hmm.
even I'm intimidated by myself.
Well,
so there you go. You're pretty cool.
You go.
I'm going to have to listen to you again. Now, I've heard your name before, so you must be around Blog Talk Radio. That's the Ann Nichols, is that it?
I'm around Blog Talk. I've been on a few different shows, and I do have my own show, Code Connection, as well.
Okay. I bet I've listened to you before, because the name... See, your name rings a bell, although your voice doesn't. So I will have to look you up, and I think you're for real. And that's for me to say that. I can read, you know, if somebody's lying and not, you know, that kind of stuff. So I think, David, this is a great person that you found for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Diana. She is. I will have a beautiful night.
You too.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Okay. God bless. All right. Now, I don't have names of the other people so they can identify themselves. This caller is simply identified as live, and I'm trying to bring them live. Again, the studio. There we go. What is your name, please?
It's Daniela.
Oh, hi, Daniela. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling back.
Pleasure.
I figured it was you, but I wasn't connecting the name with live. I knew that you'd called last night.
Oh, absolutely. You made this sound so interesting that I have to call again.
Beautiful. Well, say hello to Jessie Ann.
Hi, Jessie, and nice to hear from you.
It's great to meet you, Daniela. How are you doing today?
I'm really well, thank you. I hope you're well, too.
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Good. So I'm looking for just some clarity around what I'm supposed to do. It seems that I'm capable and have skills in doing a lot of things, but I struggle with direction.
Okay. Well, you know, one of the big things right off with you, Daniela, that I pick up that I'm seeing through your codes is that you're pretty much guaranteed success whatever direction you go, so you just have to choose it. When you choose your path, you are going to get whatever help you need. People that have the, you know, the big list or whatever are going to step in and help you. You're going to get help from people that have been around a while. You're going to get protection from people. They're going to want to help you put your plans in motion. Now, part of the thing is you're waiting on other people to kind of guide you and tell you, hey, this is what you should be doing. But you have leadership energy. You have the energy of what we call the energy of the lion. And so you
okay.
are a leader. which means you shouldn't be waiting for everybody else to tell you what to do. You need to be taking the lead, and other people are looking to you to know what to do. So when we look at that type of thing, if you were to go and do a more traditional type of job, you would be the person we would want to see in management. You would be the person we'd want to see kind of at the top of the company who can direct and integrate people, and you have a great ability to relate to a lot of different people. Along the way, you can be very social, very cordial. People connect with you very easily. If we talk about the spiritual industry, then we're talking about something that's probably more in line with coaching or more in line with, you know, this aspect of, being able to listen to people. I think you're a great listener. I think you're a great ear. You're a great guide for a lot of people. And you don't even really have to say much. They just feel like they could just open up and talk with you. But you have to take the lead. They're looking for you for direction. They're looking to you for direction. So ironically, this is one of those turns of events. And we see this all the time in the world, that mirror effect, right? I'm looking for direction. I'm looking for direction. Well, no, people are looking for direction from you.
Yeah. But you see, that's the hard part, because I used to be the leader. And that was really, really hard work. And it took its toll. And I didn't particularly like it. And while I don't rely on other people for direction per se now, it's more that I'm not taking the reins of a leader. And so I think that's probably where the confusion lies for me.
That's where it lies. And the difference is that oftentimes when people take the role of the leader, particularly with the type of energy that you have there, is that they take on everybody's stuff. You take it very personally. You tend to, you weigh yourself down with the burdens of everything, and you have to set some boundaries. When you're really leading people, it's kind of like the drummer in a band. They set the pace for everybody else. You can't do everybody else's work. You're not there to be drained out. And a real leader is going to teach people not to be needy on them. And to a certain extent, you kind of need people to need you, but then it drains you out, and you get burned out, and you want to step out of it. And so, you know, here again. And I think the other thing, too, is that people call on you a lot of times when they want something or need something from you, and not just in that more social interaction, intellectual manner. And that can bring you up, because then your barriers start going up, going, man, I don't want to be in this position, because you're only calling on me when you need something.
Exactly.
So
what you said is you know, it's the kind of person I used to be, you know, whereas, you know, I would be the person who would, you know, basically do everything, because I just found that people around me weren't doing what they were supposed to do, which set me back. And so I did burn out, and it wasn't a good thing. And so now, you know, funnily enough, you mentioned coaching. I'm already a life coach, and I do a lot of other spiritual work. And so I think that, you know, I have to take from what you said and, you know, be the leader in what I do now, which is you know, different from what I used to do and how I used to be. Because... Yes, I used to be the person who took things personally and so on, but, you know, that's something that I've worked on for many years now, and it's less so now, which is a really good thing for me, because I feel better for it.
And I think, too, when you do something, you put your all into it. So, you know, as a result of that, here again, you don't always create the balances that you need. You need time to land. So what you need to do is you need to lead for a little bit, and then you need to take your time off for you. You need to lead for a little bit, take your time off for you. So maybe restructure instead of this
constant leader all the time,
yeah,
type of thing. Create, like, you know, that 21-day program or whatever it is. Do it for,
yeah,
21 days and then take your break. And start to, you know, as a real leader, you're not going to let people get away with just coming to you in this needy space constantly.
No.
You know, it's about, you have to set the foot down and make them do the work.
Yeah.
Because you have this big open heart space that's so caring, but then people fuck off and they don't do the work.
Yeah.
And you have to start setting your standards, saying, you know what, I love, because you're going to be successful no matter what. So, you know, when it comes down to that, you need to put your foot down and say, I'm not going to work with you unless I see you doing the work.
Yeah.
And if I don't see you doing the work, then that's, I'm sorry, I will not have you as a client because,
yeah,
you know, I, this is not where I'm going to put my energy.
Yeah.
That is
spot on. It's actually, that's actually a thought that I had today. So, yes, that's very true.
And a good leader knows how to delegate.
Yeah. That's so true.
They'll jump in and be part of the team in a pinch, but they know how to delegate. They don't actually try to do it all themselves.
No, I will no longer do that. You know, I've had that experience. It's not a good experience. It didn't do me any good. Can I ask, do you see any books in my future? Is it something that I'm going to do? Writing, that is, sorry.
A book, a writing. I think if you put something together, I think that it probably will do better in a sort of diary form.
Yeah.
And not a traditional book form.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, you've just reminded me of something that I used to do, but stopped doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I think the book format, if you were to write something, I think that would be the style to write in.
Yeah.
More like you're sharing your personal diary with people.
Yes, that really resonates, as you said it. That really resonates. Thank you for that.
You're very welcome.
I really, really appreciate your time. You've been so insightful. Thank you very, very much.
You're very welcome. It was great to meet you, Daniela.
And you. And thank you, David.
Yes, thank you for calling, Daniela. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Have a beautiful evening. God bless.
And to you. Bye.
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 Okay. We are trying to move on. Okay, we're moving on to somebody who shows up as Shefali. Have I got that right? What is your name, please?
Yep, that's perfect. Shefali.
Hi, Shefali. How are you doing?
I'm good, Jesse. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. It's great to have you on the air with me.
Yeah, it's fun. I just saw it, and I was like, oh, I'm going to go on. Jesse is fantastic, actually.
And I should mention, I'm also going to be, Shefali has a wonderful teleseminar and that she has running right now called Awaken to Happiness Now. And,
oh, cool.
I'm getting ready to be her guest in that teleseminar in March. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, definitely just jump over to Awaken to Happiness Now page and you'll find out all the information there. And it's amazing. She has people like Mahsa Jadi on and all kinds of incredible people in her group.
And Jesse.
Oh, wow. I'll have to check that out. Awaken to Your Happiness?
Yeah, Awaken to Happiness Now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Happiness Now. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So what can I do for you tonight, Shefali?
Well, basically it was a matter of, okay, Jesse, what do you see coming up? You know, it's like this week or last couple of weeks I've been crazy. I've been busy creating, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's been fantastic. The energy of that has been great. But, what else do you see? You know, I guess I'm looking for more clarity still.
So we're in a really big time right now, called life.
Yep.
Which I know you know very well, because I've coded for Shefali, so I have a little more background on her in some ways. And right now, this is a huge time, Shefali. We're just entering the new moon, the Chinese New Year today. Mm-hmm. And so we have an opportunity for a lot of blessings. And there's two big keys that we need to focus on right now, especially as we're welcoming this in. And this really applies for Daniela, too, who was just on the air. We need to incorporate more play and more fun into things. We need to lighten up, because there's a tendency to get very, very intense. And wherever we're feeling the stress and the tenseness right now is basically a lie in our life, is what I would say to you, Shefali. And we need to let go. So this is, we're doing our kind of final letting go right now and our final releasing period right now before we enter into our seasonal new year. So this period over the next, say, month and a half up until the spring equinox for you, and you're channeling this energy in probably more than the average person, is I'm gonna say I see a lot of healing for you, but you do want to take a very close look at the lies in your life. And again, you're going to know that, because they're going to be creating stress. They're going to be creating tension. They're going to try to take you out of that sense or feeling of play.
Yeah. And I definitely get that, because, you know, I've been really intense lately and not had the chance to play. And I remember even saying to my husband, we need to go have some fun. We need to play, you know, because it was just too heavy, you know.
And you need some time to just what I would call sail or sailing.
Yep.
And that is that day to just take it easy and to ride wherever the wind takes you. And I'd like to do some of those little journeys, and you're in a great place to do it right now. I know that. Where you take that day and you don't even know where you're going to end up. You don't even know where you're going. You just take the journey and you head out the door and you go someplace and you hit like a stop sign or a stoplight and you go, okay, right or left.
Yeah.
And what
hits
you in the moment, that's the direction you go. And then you drive, you know, and then you pick a number and you drive that amount of distance, and then you make the next decision, and wherever you end up has all the great messages for you. It just becomes a whole day of enlightenment and fun and adventure.
Oh, yeah, I agree. And we have done that in the past, and it has been amazing and so much fun and so much lightness, you know. But, you know, as you know, I'm busy creating. My husband's busy creating or figuring stuff out. And we already talked about how, you know, March was going to be a transformative period. So it's like I'm trying to build the foundation to get to that, you know? So one of the things that we talked about was, like, my name, right? And my spiritual name, we started to embody or incorporate that more into what I'm doing, right? So what do you feel about that when people get or receive a spiritual name? Should they use it? Should they not use it? This is more of a general question as well.
Well, and I think for you, definitely when we looked at that, it was definitely an asset for you to incorporate, because your spiritual name codes favorably to your own name, and it brings out a new dimension. And I really have seen some shifting of energy that it's brought in maybe a little more strength, a little more stability, and I don't know. And there's also a sort of, for lack of better terminology, a gentle strength or softness that has been very powerful when you incorporated that. And there was such an opening that happened for you. Now, you know, here again, sometimes people get spiritual names and it may or may not code for them. For example, I had somebody that does some beautiful work that I'm going to be having as a guest on my show soon, Holly Hallowell, and she does what's called Anahata codes, which is the heart codes. And even though certain things connect favorably for her to legally change her name to what she was looking at, was not going to interact well. And she would have lost a lot of her success energy in doing that. So it's a case-by-case thing. It depends on the name that somebody's given.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can just be that simple, add an E, remove an N, you know,
mm-hmm.
do a little different spelling on it, and it could be okay or shift it a little bit. So, it's really up to the individual. I feel like I'm getting a much more empowered energy off of you since you've been using that name.
Yeah, and I think that's what my community is also finding, or they're really reacting to that name in a way. Like, they're seeing me in a different way now, you know. And
yeah.
it's interesting because it's like, okay, I have to, like, kind of change who I am a little bit more, you know, like get more into the truth of who I am instead of, you know, playing small, you know, the way I've been playing. So it's about being more of who I am and being okay with that, because it seems, you know, it seems like my community, that's what they seem to like and have embraced.
I would say so, and I think it brought in a certain amount of more truth, wisdom to you, a little more realness, which is something that we had worked on with you, just bringing out more of that real connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, thank you. And, you know, Jesse did a lot of work with me, so, I mean, I'm the one who has not followed through that well, you know, because there's still some stuff that I need to incorporate from the work that we did together. So slowly, he's getting there.
Piece by piece.
Yeah, exactly. Piece by piece. But I do, when I look at numbers, like, oh, I can't, no, let's do this number instead, because it codes more favorably for me than this number. So I am looking at it, you know, it is going in. But there's just so much info, and it's like, it's so amazing how we are affected or can be affected by, you know, different things, and both in a positive way and in a negative way. So I'm definitely incorporating more of those positive aspects of myself.
And you're such a great example too, Shefali, of how, you know, you embraced that energy and you started working with the codes, and a big part of it was coming through the name and some of the other things, because I've seen these other pictures come up of you that are much more, if we want to say, relatable or real looking for
mm-hmm.
people. And
mm-hmm.
And they feel like they've been brought into this new dimension, a new piece of you. And this is a great thing about the codes, because you yourself are still doing the same work.
Yes.
But the way people are relating to you and perceiving you now has a whole new dimension that you didn't have before. And it's
yeah.
drawing in a much wider range of people, and it's exciting, the people that have been with you for a while.
Yeah, and for me, it really tells me that, okay, I need to really step into more of who I am, you know, because that's what people are looking for and are wanting. So it's like, okay, you know, so step by step, that's what I'm starting to do more of, you know. So I don't want to scare them off too much at once. So it's like, step by step.
and that's it. And we know, and the more we work with the codes, the more the doors open for us to do that. And you know, life is busy sometimes, and we do have to take it one piece at a time, and that's reality at points, and that's okay. But as you say, the more you incorporate even the small pieces like numbers or things like that, it just puts you in that current where you're not having so much garbage to deal with, and it makes it easier to continue to open those doors and to get to the other pieces.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful. Thank you. I don't want to take up too much of your time, because I know there's other people waiting to speak with you, Jesse.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, Shefali.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, David.
You're welcome, Shefali. Take care, hon.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good night. Okay, we're going to move on to area code 951. I'm sorry, I don't know what your name is, but you're live on the air. What is your name, please?
Nathaniel.
Hi, Nathaniel. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Say hello to Jesse Ann.
Hi.
Hi, Nathaniel. Great to meet you. What can I help you with tonight?
Could you pull a couple cards for me? I'm looking for a job and a move or something like that.
Okay. I actually don't pull cards. What I do is work with people's personal life code. So we can definitely take a little bit of a look at that for you. Are you looking at like a particular area or place or?
I'm just kind of getting out of a release now. I've been disabled at work. You know, I just thought I'd, you know, call and see if you saw something for me.
Okay. So, you know, kind of what I'm looking at here is I feel like April's going to be a really big month for you. There's definitely a connection for you in April that's coming up. You've got kind of a couple of quieter months here with February and March, and I feel like that's more of you yourself getting a little more clarity in what you want. You again, are a person that has a little bit of the leadership or the command, or, you know, you need a little bit of independence, a little bit of being able to function on your own to a certain extent. You are a person that doesn't have to follow the crowd. So when you're looking for something, you don't want to look at jobs that are going to be too conforming, you know, too rigid in what mm-hmm. they're doing. You are a person that has energy, that you have a very strong mind. I would say there's a high level of intelligence in you. And so here again, you have to be a little bit careful, because if you were to step into a place where people, you know, the bulk of the people there don't have an intelligence or aren't a thinking type of group of people, that could be scary for some of them in there, because you definitely carry the what we would call a mental superiority. And you're a person that you can't be bought by people. And so you've got to be with people who are confident in themselves, that don't tend to feel threatened, a little more of an equal and open flowing environment.
Well, I was just working prior to as a security guard. I still have my my security thing. I renewed it and everything, but. Do you see me getting a job in that, or is that not really my personality?
Actually, security could be very good for you, because there's a lot of independence in that. Your ability with your mind and your observation and the way your mind thinks and processes things, you're miles and miles ahead of the game. So, yeah, you're actually a very good person to have in that field.
Yeah, my last employer just didn't see it in me, you know, for some reason. They didn't promote me as fast as other people kind of had a nepotism hold on it or something. So, but, you know, it was kind of busy. They were making a lot of money, I guess, or, you know, they were too busy, to really notice. But,
Well, there can be a variety of pieces there. Again, you know, there could have been some people in there that aren't as confident, that maybe felt a little threatened by you, maybe had some concerns of their, you know, which can happen, because sometimes when somebody comes along and they're a strong person or they're a very confident person, that can trigger insecurities for people. And it's not that you're doing that intentionally. It's just that they start to see it in themselves because they see all the confidence you're carrying. In thing. And there are people that sometimes aren't playing ethically out there, which we don't like to think about, but they're there. And, and so if they have somebody come in that's intelligent and plays ethically, that can be scary. I can give you an example. Many years ago, I took a job in the fast food industry, and this was probably about maybe about 15, 20 years ago or so, and I had a district regional manager who tried to set me up to fire me, and I was on part of the management team at my location, and one day he said, you know, I tried to set you up. I was trying to get you fired. And I'm kind of like, first of all, I'm thinking, I can't believe this guy's coming out and saying that. And then second of all, I said, well, why do you feel threatened by me? You know, like, why is that? He goes, you use words that have more than five letters in them. And I went, wow. So we really don't always know. And sadly, there are people that, you know, they're higher up and they do have those fears there. They are scared because of maybe how they got to their position. But sometimes it's just the company or it's just the location that you're working in that could make you get overlooked. So, for example, I live in a city that right now isn't my best coding, and I'm going to be working on relocating from here. But the particular zip code that I am in most of the time in this city is actually extremely favorably coded for me. And the blessings just continue to open up. People continue to do things. So there can be simple little subtleties like that. And when I, you know, if I'm working with a client, that's something I can work with them on, is finding out those locations. Or when they're applying for jobs someplace, is that company really truly coded to them? And I've implemented that in my own life. And it sure made job searching a lot easier in a lot of ways because, you know, in reality, I didn't have to go out and apply 100 different cities. I could focus in a little bit more.
Huh, okay. Do you see me moving by May?
I'm sorry, see you what?
Moving by May?
Moving by May. And I think that moving is always a choice for you. Again, I think April is a really big month for you, so if you were going to make a transition like a move, April would probably be a good time for you to do that.
So, all the stuff of moving and stuff, April would be a pretty active month, so I might be able to get it done and move out by May 1st, I guess, which is my birthday, so I'm thinking maybe in, I don't know.
Well, that's,
it'll be a new cycle, you know, new cycle.
Exactly, and that can be a very powerful time to make a transition right around your birthday because it is a new cycle, and that's going to bring in a whole new energy for you for the year. And that's when we make natural shifts. That is one place that I will bring in a birth date from somebody is if I'm looking at, say, their own personal annual cycle and what that's going to be like to help them find the most favorable days and realize what their most challenging days are. And when I do something like that, then I'm really getting down to saying, okay, your challenging days are your days. You need to step back and rest, take it easy, do some of the mundane stuff, whereas your favorable days are the days you should really be putting yourself out there and connecting with people and putting forth the things you really want to have succeed. And so we all go through that change when our birthdays hit, and that's when you're going to notice the change into the 2016 vibration for you and what's that, you know, what that ends up being about.
I guess today's the first day of the monkey, so we changed like you were talking about. And this is the fire monkey, so we've actually switched elements as well as years because it goes for 2 years in each element. So we've already had 2 years of wood with the wood horse and then the wood sheep, and now we're going to be on the fire monkey and then the fire rooster.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're changing elements from wood to fire.
Definitely, and the big key in this is that with the fire element, we can deal with a lot of reaction from people. And this is where one of the big patterns that I've repeatedly brought up for people is competition. And, you know, the elite and people like that are going to be trying to trigger a lot of reaction in people through competition of business, through competition of race, through bringing up racism issues, through countries fighting, through all kinds of things like this. And, you know, matter of fact, I got into some of this on the most recent show I did. in my own show, Code Connection, about the connection between the crane falling in New York and the sonic booms that have been going on the East Coast and how that connects with a whole hidden symbolic language of what's happening between the USA, Russia, and China, and how that all connects in with NATO. So there's a huge thing. It was a deliberate message in there to have happen at the Chinese New Year, and China is going into a huge disadvantaged year of things. So we're going to be seeing a lot of shifting and changing of the tables, so to say. And in this whole aspect, it's very important in the year of the fire monkey, for example, that we do learn how to lighten up and to laugh and to play and not get wrapped up in the competition and not get wrapped up in the reaction factor of things, because this is going to be a year of strange accidents and strange fatalities. We've seen a lot of that already with the way some big entertainers went out, like David Bowie and stuff at the beginning of the year. And, you know, it's almost like they knew they were all going to go, and they planned these release of things right at the time of their death, basically. And you know, a lot of things were about what they were going through. So we're going to see a lot of these odd things coming up, and the key is for us to play, to lighten up about things. And if we can remember that, it's going to be huge in allowing us to move through this year.
Well, Nathaniel, thank you for calling. We're going to try to take one more call, and then we're going to have to call it a night. But God bless you, and best wishes to you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye,
Nathaniel.
We have had a few more people calling in lately. I recognize one number, and she's next in queue, and that's Deanna. And she's going to be our last caller of the night. So for those that are not able to get a reading tonight, would you put out your website information again, Jesse?
Yes, my website is my full name, so it's JessieAnnNicholsGeorge1.com.
Okay, very good. Well, we're going to move on to our last caller of the night, and that's Deanna. Hello, Deanna. How are you?
Hello, David. Can you hear me well?
Yes, very well. Thank you.
Good. Wonderful.
Say hello to Jessie Ann.
Thank you so much for taking my call. Hello, Jessie Ann.
Hi, Deanna.
Hello.
Do you spell your name with one or two N's?
Well, because it's Spanish, I spell it like Diana, but I say it Deanna.
Oh, okay. So it's D-I-A-N-A?
Right.
Okay.
And I'm really happy to connect with you tonight. I was wondering if you could read for me.
And what are you looking to find out?
Well, I'm trying to get my health back, and I'm also trying to get back to work. Now, I did work a little bit last week. I'm looking forward for more work this week and more strength.
Okay. You know, you have some interesting energy that I'm picking up, and this is a great example. I'm glad that you called in tonight, because you have the name of somebody that called in earlier, and this is where things can vary, and this is where part of the intuitive processes come in. You too have this ability, this aspect of where people kind of try to push you down and everything a little bit, and you know, there's some anxiety or tension that tends to be in your sphere. However, what I see with you that's very interesting is that you've kind of come into this life with an energy that provides people the opportunity to come to your aid. And that's a little bit different. And I think that this is a karmic-related thing. I think this is a soul aspect thing where you are one of those pieces of the divine that kind of is like a checkpoint for where people are at, and you're there to give them the opportunity to make changes and to step more into their divine self through helping you. it's an interesting pattern to be in. I think that you will strengthen. What's very interesting is that your health fluctuates based on how much people are operating in a compassionate mode with you or not.
You're right. You're right. Emotions rule me, definitely.
Mm-hmm. So this isn't just the aspect of emotions, hey, somebody's being nice to me or not nice to me. It's not just the positive, negative energy factor that's going on. But what it is really, again, more this aspect that you are a trigger to see if somebody will step into being compassionate. And so your body actually is reacting very strongly on that level with people to see. And so, you know, you're really taking in that universal energy vibration that every time somebody does a compassionate act and they operate in that caring space, your energy will surge. And every time...
It's my lamp. You're right. It lights my light bulb, definitely.
And every time that people operate really selfishly and cruelly and, you know, and just discount what you're going through, your body grows weaker. You have a high reaction space. You're oftentimes a bridge for people, and that's part of this allowing people to step in and do these compassionate things. And it takes a strong person to take on that kind of a karmic path, so to say, to endure things in order for people to become compassionate. And I understand that because I myself, having toured and traveled on the road, and I didn't stay in fancy hotels the whole time. I lived out of my vehicle, basically, you know, along the way. And I was still doing that after I came to Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And I'd been doing that for several months. And some people found out that I was living in my vehicle while it was hitting minus 30 and minus 40 degrees here. And this group of people came together and insisted on helping me. And they came together and they got me a hotel room for a month. As well as some other assistance. And so I, like you, am one of those catalyst people that tends to go through a variety of circumstances to bring that out in people. Now, does that mean we have to go through that suffering? No, because you can also become the person who is the aid for other people. And I think you have that kind of heart because of the experiences you've been through, that you really are good at helping people in a very caring way and a very genuine way. And that's actually a very good area for you to focus your energy.
Do you feel that I'm going to transition to the second role rather than stay in the first one? Because it's really... very, not only very draining, but I'm proud, and I prefer to be in the second role rather than the first one, which I've been in for a long time now.
Well, and we definitely want to let go of some of the pride things, and this is where it's going to be a choice for you. You have to choose that space of happiness and feeling happy regardless of the circumstances, and you simply have to choose to be in that other role. As you do that, and we best help people, this is the thing, we oftentimes can jump into that martyr position when we start helping people and getting on our spiritual path. And really the best way we can help people is simply to be happy, simply to not reside in the victim space, but to just let the joy flow through us. And it sounds so simple, and it really is, but people forget to do it because they get wrapped up in the reactions. They get wrapped up in the programming that says, if you're going through ABC, you have to feel like you're suffering, or you have to be a victim, or this or that. And it's like, even in my own circumstances, I never once felt like I was suffering or that I was a victim. And I continue to just show up day after day after day around these people, smiling, and nobody knew really what was going on in my life until some things unfolded in conversation along the way, and people were like, wow, you're just so happy, or you're always in a good mood. You know, it's not that I discount or avoid or push off things that are happening. It's just that I choose to feel happy because that's the space that I prefer to be in. So if you choose that and you choose to start doing some things, and it can even be small, like donating time to a soup kitchen or whatever it is, whatever your thing is, you know, that will help build that energy for you.
I'd be happy to do that, provided I have the means to support myself. At this point, I have to make that a priority, and then I can help
and
support people and animals as well.
And the thing is not just waiting. You know, we get, again, wrapped up in that program. We have to wait to this, and I've been there, so I know it extremely well. But when we choose to be happy, when we choose to do these little bits that naturally flow within the course of our day, within the course of meeting the responsibilities or things like that, and we simply exist in that space, those other doors open up. So, you know, it's even just watching. If you like shelters or you like animals or whatever it is, it's watching and seeing when a position opens up with that, or volunteering the time on the weekends to help with some things or various things like that, and it just does open up the doors. So it's really the feeling, and that was the thing for me. When I chose to be happy, when I chose to feel that happiness, no matter what was happening in my day or what was going on in my environment, it brought people forward, and it brought the circumstances forward to support me, and it brought money forward. Matter of fact, I've had many of my friends recently go, man, you are running some kind of mojo, because you went from, you know, this total point of devastation not very long ago to, in the last month or so here, I've been given a hotel room for a month. I was given $750 by a group of people towards some expenses, which is going to pay off bills from where I rescued a cat from going over a waterfall. I had some other work I was doing that is taking care of some things. And then, you know, and then I had somebody else that I just posted an update on something somewhere, and they came through and dropped $800 my direction. And last week I had an increase in some earnings for some things I was working on. And so the whole pattern is happening now. But it's because I chose that happiness first. It's because I chose to exist in that space first. So it's not
from
about
waiting to feast.
You got to be there.
From famine to feast via faith.
Via a blend of things, via happiness, via being divine light in everyday life, and just being happy with that.
What I said was, what I meant was, you know, on the road to VIA, like via.
Uh-huh.
So from famine to feast, via,
yep.
You know, by the means of faith.
Yes.
Well, I sure hope, you know, that comes true. I appreciate very much your reading, and it's always a pleasure to listen to your program, David. I'm sorry I called in a little bit later today.
That's all right. You made it in, Deanna. I'm glad to have been able to call on you.
Thank you. And by the way, I know I said this before in one program or another, if Nathaniel is still listening, I think he would be a great person to do voiceovers.
Mm-hmm. I do too. And he is still listening.
Good. Good.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
All right.
God
bless.
Blessings to
you. And keep me posted via Facebook on what's going on, okay?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
Thank
you. Thanks so much. Yes. God bless.
God
bless. Jesse Ann, it's been a wonderful evening with you. I thank you so much for sharing your time, talent, and treasure with us.
Oh, it's been such a pleasure to be with you, David. I love being on your show and love sharing what's going on and bringing these insights out for people.
Well, I had the impression that everybody was very grateful, and that's wonderful. And I love what you said about happiness. I mean, we have choices each step of the way, and I do believe that is the key to attracting blessings. That and gratitude are two big keys as far as I'm concerned.
I thoroughly agree, because every day, and when I received everything along the way, and no matter what happened in my day, I always, you know, I'm grateful for it. I'm always saying, what a blessing this is. What a great gift this is. And what's interesting with the universe is when you do that and you genuinely feel it and you think, wow, what a gift this is, the universe then responds and says, oh, you think that's great? Let me show you something even greater.
There you go. Well, I liked what you said about genuinely feeling it, because, you know, it's one thing to adopt an attitude, but another thing to really get into the feeling. And we can choose those feelings. We can attract them to ourselves. And it's so important. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. And it does work. I'm living proof of it. I'm seeing it in motion in my life every single day.
Same here. Well, thank you again. And I'd love to have you back on the show later in the year.
I look forward to it, definitely.
Okay. Thanks, Jesse. So once again, we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience if we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize.